When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey, Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
This is 99% Invisible. I'm Roman Mars. Around the corner from our office in beautiful downtown Oakland, California, is DeLauer's Newsstand. It has been there since 1907. For the people who live and work downtown, it is central to our existence. Everyone goes there to buy drinks, lottery tickets, little packs of fruit-flavored cigarillos, and occasionally, even a newspaper.
163.
But about 8 months ago, it became clear that even though DeLauer's wants a bunch of people inside the store buying things, they don't want a bunch of people outside their store hanging out on the sidewalk. Here's how you can tell. DeLauer's started playing really loud classical music through a speaker outside. And although I still see a fair number of people hanging out in front of the place, the owner says it's not nearly as many as before.
Oh, big change. It was mess. They hung outside and, you know, just they're playing dice on the street outside the door. And it was crazy. But no, it helps us a lot. Even the customer telling us they see the change on the street here. I'm the owner of DeLauer's Newsstand. My name is Fasil Lama.
When you have classical music, people who are young and cool don't really hang out there. So that's a way to deter teenagers.
That is Selena Savage.
And I am co-author of the research project about unpleasant design.
Playing classical music on loudspeakers is an example of what Selena calls unpleasant design.
Unpleasant design is something that works well at deterring certain behaviors and certain uses from particularly public spaces.
Along with her partner Gordon Savicic, Selena collects and catalogs unpleasant designs.
Unpleasant design was here since we started designing public space or since we started designing cities.
Unpleasant designs are meant to exert a kind of social control in public by targeting people who spend a lot of time in public spaces, especially the young and the homeless. And the designs often end up pushing these so-called undesirable people out of one space and into another. Music is only one method for deterring teens from public space. In 2009, the Nottinghamshire Housing Estates in England installed pink lighting to keep kids from congregating.
Pink lights, which would emphasize the skin, like blemishes on teenagers, which should result in teenagers not hanging out there. That's one of my favorite examples.
Mine too, although there's not a lot of evidence that proves how effective it is. Pink lighting that preys on teenagers' insecurities is funny and kind of devious, if a little far-fetched. Another more substantiated example of targeting and trying to eliminate undesirable behavior with light is the presence of blue lighting in public restrooms. I saw this in UK train stations quite a bit last time I was there.
Blue light of a particular color makes the veins slightly less visible.
You can't see your veins through your skin, so it's hard to find a target if you're an intravenous drug user.
Then it became a very popular solution for all kind of publicly accessible toilets and even sometimes in buses. When your veins are not visible to you, you're obviously not going to be able to take any heroin.
According to Selena, lights are one of the original forms of public social control. For example,
there was a bridge in a small town in Bosnia.
Specifically in the Kasbah of Visegrad, Bosnia, in the early 1900s.
Where the Austrian government, who kind of annexed the country at that time, decided to implement street lighting, and that was very unpleasant to the locals, and the locals would destroy the light every night, and the government would reinstall it every morning. And so the idea that light is something unpleasant for free expression in public space is something that we completely forgot.
We've since become so habituated to public lighting that our primary experience with streetlights is that they deter criminal activity and make us feel safe. Unless you're someone who laments the lack of stars in the night sky or lives in an apartment with a window right next to a screamingly bright bulb, you might never view streetlights as unpleasant at all. Which is one of the reasons why the Unpleasant Design Project wants to point it out, so that it gets recognized as being part of an overall design scheme that can take on a much uglier manifestation.
Well, these studs may only be a few centimeters tall, but they've caused a big debate.
This is from a BBC News story from 2014. The reporter, Nick Beek, is pointing to a set of angry-looking spikes that were installed in the concrete floor of a small alcove by the entrance to an apartment building. The spikes are clearly meant to stop people from sitting or lying there.
Is this a legitimate way to prevent rough sleeping and possible antisocial behavior, or are they a symbol of a heartless approach to homelessness?
Psst, hey, do you want to know the answer? It's the second one.
That spiked a huge debate, and even the mayor of London reacted and said that they should be removed and that we should not address homeless people in this way.
The grocery chain Tesco also added spikes to areas outside the entrance to one of its stores in central London in 2014. They were removed after days of public protest.
Generally, the debate was about the way we treat homelessness, and is that something that we just want to remove from a particular space, or is it something that we should somehow structurally address?
Spikes to stop people from sitting or lying down evoked a wide variety of reactions from the public.
The first time I saw someone lying here, a homeless couple actually, I didn't like it because I didn't like having to walk by them. That sounds very selfish. So when I saw those studs, I thought, good idea.
So a lot of people are bothered by the presence of homeless people, but some are also alarmed by just how aggressive the spikes are.
It's almost looks harmful. You know, if you lie on those, you're going to get spiked. And so it sends that message, which I think is wrong.
It's worth saying that these spikes are not just in England. We have them in the US too. Outside of our office is a window ledge where you naturally want to sit. And sure enough, there are these black metal doorknob looking things that keep anyone from resting there. And one thing that makes these spikes and similar features especially frustrating is that they're just there. They're not moving. There's no arguing with them.
You know, if you have a policeman who prohibits people from sleeping in a park, I think there is still some possible negotiation. And I think that's good. That's what society is about, the ongoing negotiation and ongoing change. But when we start using things that are immutable and unchangeable, like metal spikes, there is nothing that is going to change until they rust. I think that's the most important criteria for calling something unpleasant design. It is something that you cannot negotiate with.
We have all tried and probably failed to negotiate with one of the most common and aggravating forms of unpleasant design, public seating. Whether it's in a park or at a bus stop or in an airport, there are countless ways designers have made it so you cannot get comfortable and most especially cannot lie down.
A classic is the bench with armrests in between, which of course let you rest your arm on the armrest, but at the same time they restrict any other kind of use than sitting upright. The only way this bench can be used is by three people sitting next to each other and not looking at each other, which is not the only thing you can do on a bench. Especially it's not the only normal and legal thing you can do on a bench.
Selena thinks that limiting the way something can be used is problematic.
By attacking or addressing one particular problem, you actually generate many more problems and reduce complexity of possible behaviors in public space.
It's not just dividers and armrests. In the Unpleasant Design book, they also point out benches that are mounted so high that your feet can't touch the ground, and therefore they're uncomfortable after a short period of time. And they document an increased prevalence of leaning supports at bus stops that you can rest against while standing, but they do not accommodate sitting or sleeping. But the object that Selena considers the masterpiece of unpleasant design is the Camden bench.
Basically, it is a design solution to 22, I think, antisocial behavior problems. The only thing it does not deter is sitting.
The Camden Bench, so named because it was commissioned by Camden London Borough Council, is a strange, angular, sculpted, solid lump of concrete with rounded edges and slopes in unexpected places. A critic on Medium named Frank Swain called it the perfect anti-object. Anti-sleeping because the shape makes it uncomfortable to sleep on. Anti-drug dealing because there are no slots or crevices in which to hide drugs. Anti-theft because the recesses near the ground allow people to store bags behind their legs and away from would-be criminals. Anti-skateboard because the edges on the bench fluctuate in height, making grinding difficult. Anti-litter because there are no surfaces or crevices where litter can accrue. Anti-graffiti because it has a special coating to repel paint. And all those goals are pretty noble, except for sleeping and skateboarding. I don't really want the other activities happening in public spaces I go to either. But Selenisevic finds this litany of anti-measures demoralizing.
It discourages 22 things. It encourages to sitting and sitting together. When we expect people to do bad things to the bench before we think of anything good that people might do to this bench, I think that's a very sad approach to public space.
It's also a contagious approach to public space. There's a chapter in the Unpleasant Design book that's devoted to all the unpleasant designs used to thwart pigeons in cities. Anti-pigeon spikes and nets are everywhere. And even if you're like Selena and aware of these measures and skeptical of our war on pigeons, you might not have a choice in whether or not to use them.
A week after we have published the book, we had a confirmation of this. We didn't even notice, but on the balcony doors, we actually had anti-pigeon spikes. And then due to somebody hanging out on the balcony who was, a bit clumsy, and they destroyed these spikes on one side, and we didn't even notice that, suddenly the balcony was filled with pigeon shit.
Pigeons might not be overwhelming if the population is spread throughout a city, but the ubiquity of pigeon spikes concentrate pigeons in the few places where there are no spikes. Selena argues that's when the problem is created.
And that should not be the way to solve any kind of interest conflicts over a space. But yes, we have immediately fixed our spikes.
There is always an aspect of coercion to design. Design is used to get you to buy things, to use your iPhone in a certain way, sometimes without you even being aware of it. And these pieces of hostile and unpleasant architecture are no different.
Design is something that is supposed to transmit a certain use of this object. Otherwise, it would have not been designed. However, I think it is very problematic when we start excluding people by design.
The reason we need a critical theory of unpleasant design is so we can recognize the coercion that is taking place in our public spaces. We need to know when we're replacing human interaction and nuance and empathy with hard, physical, non-negotiable solutions.
And this is what we wanted to achieve with this book, to start the debate. There will always be people who believe this is a good way and people who think it's terrible. And we are somehow not extreme in our opinion. We're really the observers.
And now you're an observer too. Whether you think a certain form of design is exclusionary but serves a greater good, or just hostile and offensive, it's important to be aware of the decisions that are being made for you, because most likely, unpleasant design is put there to make things more pleasant for someone just like you. "99% Invisible" is Sam Greenspan, Delaney Hall, Kurt Kohlstedt, Katie Mingle, Avery Truffleman, Sharif Youssef, and me, Roman Mars. A bunch of the music this week came from our pal Melodium. Your life will improve measurably when you buy and incorporate Melodium into your daily routine. It'll be like being inside a 99% Invisible episode all the time. Find Melodium on Bandcamp and on Abandoned Building Records. We are a project of 91.7 KALW San Francisco and produced out of the offices of ArcSign, an architecture and interiors firm in beautiful downtown Oakland, California.
Whether you're a family vacation traveler, a business tripper, or a long weekend adventurer, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Choice Hotels has over 7,400 locations and 22 brands, including Comfort Hotels, Radisson Hotels, and Cambria Hotels. Get the best value for your money when you book with Choice Hotels. Cambria Hotels features locally inspired hotel bars with specialty cocktails and downtown locations in the center of it all. That's what I like. I like to be within walking distance of all the stuff. Radisson Hotels have flexible workspaces to get the most of your business travel and on-site restaurants. And at Comfort Hotels, you'll enjoy free hot breakfast with fresh waffles, great pools for the entire family, and spacious rooms. With so many hotel brands, Choice Hotels allows you to prioritize what you need. Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Finding work-life balance can be tough, but Squarespace gives you the tools to reach your goals and have time to celebrate. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Use Squarespace to create a website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to time, all in one place. With the new guided design system Squarespace Blueprint, you can select from curated layout and styling options to create a personalized website optimized for every device. Get your website discovered fast with integrated optimized SEO tools. Plus, make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. Accept credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in certain countries, give customers the chance to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. I built my own website on Squarespace, RomanMars.com, and the best part about it is I added some dynamic features, and I do not have to tend to it all the time. It just works. Head to Squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to Squarespace.com/invisible to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Article believes in delightful design for every home, and thanks to their online-only model, they have some really delightful prices, too. Their curated assortment of mid-century modern, coastal, industrial, Scandi, and boho designs make furniture shopping simple. Article's team of designers are all about finding the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. They're dedicated to thoughtful craftsmanship that stands the test of time and looks good doing it. I have Article beds, coffee tables, sideboards, an Article dining set. I was just perusing the site because we're doing up the outside and need some patio furniture. We haven't decided what item yet, so check it out. Tell me what I should buy. I'm sure whatever you pick out for me will be great. Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. They're having their Memorial Day sale from May 13th to May 27th, which would be the perfect time to use your store credit on top of sale prices. To claim, visit article.com/99 and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/99 for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. There's this famous Abraham Lincoln quote. Actually, it predates Abraham Lincoln, but he was famous for saying, "Good things come to those who wait." But that's only part of the quote. The full quote is, "Good things come to those who wait, but only the things left by those who hustle." Well, if you're a business owner and you want the best people on your team, the same applies. Thankfully, ZipRecruiter puts the hustle in your hiring, so you find qualified candidates fast. And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/99. ZipRecruiter's smart technology finds top talent for your roles right away. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's matching technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Let ZipRecruiter give you the hiring hustle that you need. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/99 to try it for free. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/99. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
You can find this show and like the show on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter at Roman Mars and on Instagram at The Roman Mars. And the rest of the 99PI crew are all on Twitter and Instagram as well. Just search around, you'll find them. But the best way to explore the 99% invisible activity that shapes the design of our world is to click around the hundreds and hundreds of cool stories on 99PI.org.
Radiotopia.
Reading minds is hard, but the good news is you don't have to. User testing helps you remove the guesswork and build products with greater confidence by including direct customer feedback at each stage of the product development process. This result allows you to quickly build experiences that meet changing customer expectations while minimizing risk and costly rework. With user testing, you have a trusted partner in experience research. We empower UX research, product, and design teams to make higher confidence decisions with human insights. Learn more today at usertesting.com/invisible.